Hey, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Engage to Flourish podcast. I'm your host, Damon, and I'd like to welcome back Trish LaChica. Welcome back, Trish.
Hi, thanks for having me.
In our last episode, as we were kind of ready to wrap up, this other topic came up where we started talking about something called the Dark Night of the Soul. And rather than just making a super long episode, we decided to create a new episode. So for this episode, we're going to be talking about the Dark Night of the Soul. And so if you're not familiar with the Dark Night of the Soul, and when we first brought it up the last episode, Trish was like, I've never heard of this before. We need to talk about it. So if you haven't heard of the Dark Night of the Soul, really what it is it's a season in our spiritual journey where God's felt presence feels like he's far away. Mm. It doesn't mean that God is actually far away, but his felt presence feels distant. And so there's certain purposes to what this is. And one example is of a baby who's being weaned off of breast milk, right? So if you think of babies as that are breastfeeding, right, they are, when they get hungry, they cry, and then they get fed. Mm-hmm. And right, and so there's this instant gratification to, this is what I want. Mm-hmm. I'm going to cry. I'm going to do something about it. And then I'm going to get my instant gratification. Mm-hmm. But as people mature and as they grow, that's not their experience as they grow up, right? And we don't want people to experience life like that, right? Think of it. If Trish is walking up to me and she's just like, I'm hungry. Like, we don't want millions of people walking around just every desire that they want, just screaming until they get it, right? And that's what babies do, mm-hmm. but that's not what mature adults do. And so as part of our spiritual process, God wants us to mature as well. And so he takes us through these different seasons of pulling back his felt presence to make some of the truths deepen in us so that we can grow and mature. And so in a similar situation, it's like when we wean the baby off of the milk, right? Mm-hmm. So sometimes it's just letting them wait a little bit before they get food, helping them to know that the food's coming, but it's just not whenever you want it.
Yeah.
Right. And so that can, you know, we're in the season of spiritual disciplines. And so kind of along that line and along that framework, sometimes as we start doing spiritual disciplines, we might feel a lot of just God's presence, a lot of fruit coming out of it very quickly. Right. It's like, oh, I can't wait to read my Bible. I'm getting so much out of it. Or I can't wait till my next quiet time, or I can't wait till the next time I go to church. I'm getting so much out of it. It's so good. But what happens in those seasons where it's not the same? It doesn't stay like that forever. I mean, if it happens to you, that's awesome. I haven't experienced my spiritual journey like that, where it's always so, you know, uplifting and filling all the time.
Honeymoon.
Yeah. Kind of like the honeymoon stage, right? Mm-hmm. It's not always the honeymoon stage. We wish it was. Because the honeymoon stage feels awesome. But in a similar way to like a baby, right? God wants us to mature. And so God wants those truths, things like he's going to provide for us, that mm-hmm. he's going to speak to us. He wants those things to sink in to the point where even when it feels like he's far, that we still are pursuing him and still trying to not let anything come in between us and him, right? And that's some of the things that we talked about in the last episode about consecration, right? Recognizing the things that are getting in between us and God and not allowing those things to stay there. Mm-hmm. And saying, we're not going to allow this thing. And in the last episode, we talked about, right, like we talked about alcohol mm-hmm. and we talked about TV and mm-hmm. how sometimes those things can get in between us and God, and saying, we're not going to let them stay in that place. And so sometimes during those seasons when God is revealing to us, his presence feels far away, even though he's not, it might feel like it's far away. It's so that we can recognize what he's doing and how he wants to spiritually mature us. So as we were talking about that, Trish was like, oh, I have this experience that feels like that. And I had no one to help me to discern what was actually going on. So I guess we're going to talk a little bit about that experience and how we can maybe walk through that together. So Trish, can you share a little bit about your experience?
Okay. It's weird to think back on it. It's because it was such a horrible experience that is also the best thing that ever happened to me. It's just the weirdest, I don't even know the word, but so I'm going to walk you through really fast. I'll talk fast. Like what started it, mm-hmm. middle to end. So, I've been a stay at home mom my whole motherhood. And, so I was going to start watching a baby at the school year of 2019. Mm-hmm. So that summer, it was around Father's Day, actually. The mom wanted me to just watch the baby for a few hours, right? Mm-hmm. So it was like the first time I'm like, I don't take that lightly. Like I'm watching a baby, like it's a human, right? Like that's, my job doesn't go well. I mean, that's a human life. Mm-hmm. Like, you know what I mean? So I was freaking out. I hadn't worked in many, many, many years. And so I have this baby and it's going great. And somebody came, I'm trying to be very careful to not say who it was. Somebody came over that is known to have some mental illness. And I have this baby and this person showed up on my doorsteps. Oh my gosh, just like last time, my tongue gets all twisted. Unannounced. And I freak out. Like because I'm like, I can't get this person out, like leave. And then I know the mom is showing up and I like have this person at my house. Like not that the mom knows that this person could be ill, you know, but I literally freaked out. Mm-hmm. Like I don't have panic attacks or anything like that. Like, but I panicked. It was just a horrible day. From there, and then the baby left and this person still didn't leave. Mm. And like they were, and then luckily when the baby left is kind of when like the crazy stories started coming out and it was like, you know, off the wall stories. And I'm like standing there, like I just like had the most like panic, like 2 hours of my life, you know, sorry, mm-hmm. I'm still watching the baby. And, so from there, I don't know. Like, I don't know if like mentally I broke at that point or whatever this person that has mental illness brought like to my home. Mm-hmm. I don't know. But let me tell you what happened after that. I had a mental breakdown. And during this time, I had like the last episode, I went all in. I did not, I didn't break. Like,
You're consistent.
I was consistent. Yes, 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 Lord. Like I said, I wasn't drinking. I had clear mind. On the deliverance team, like, I was God's yes girl. Mm-hmm. Fully. I'm not saying that pridefully. I'm just telling you facts. Like, mm-hmm. anything that was thrown at me was yes. And so this is why I that's important to say, because I was like on this bullet train, like I said last time.
Yeah, you were pursuing the Lord.
I was pursuing. I have a spot in my room where I was on my hands and knees often, mm-hmm. you know. And so this happened to me and my mind broke. It was the darkest almost 3.5 weeks of my life. And it was hell on earth. I could not take care of myself, let alone anyone else in my household. My thoughts were not my own. If I heard a helicopter, I thought they were after me. I felt very weird when I would see knives. Mm-hmm. No thoughts. Like, it was a feeling. Mm-hmm. Like, I didn't trust myself. These are just things that I've never experienced in my life. There was a point in the 3.5 weeks where there was 3 days of no eating. Mm. Like, and I finally chalked it up to like, when you want me to eat, Lord, I will eat. Mm-hmm. Like, because I literally couldn't. And I'm one that does not fast.
So during this time,
I'm very, very hungry.
So during this time, you're still trying to pursue the Lord, but you're just in this place that it's like, I don't know what's going on.
I had a mental breakdown. Mm-hmm. And I, at the time I didn't think about it, but it was like a Job mm-hmm. moment. I remember during the day I would put on worship music and just scream, cry the words. Mm-hmm. And in my vision, and I think I physically would raise my hand up because my vision was, I could see Jesus there and he had a robe mm-hmm. and there was a thread mm-hmm. hanging off the robe. And I would scream out loud. And I would be like, Jesus, I'm holding on. And my vision was me holding that thread. Mm-hmm. And it was like obviously now it's like I'm hanging on by a thread, right? Mm-hmm. Like that saying. But at the moment, I didn't even think of that saying. It was just me holding on that thread. And I was like, I'm not letting go. Like you are almost out of the picture, right? But I'm like, I'm holding on, Jesus. Like, and it was just me crying. Crazy things in the middle of the night, my body would be convulsing. Why? I don't know. Mark would put his hand on me and pray and it would calm me down. Why? I don't know why that happened. There was one, and I pretty much kept this from the kids. Like they still kind of don't know to this day, but one of the nights I was convulsing, nobody knew, I was being quiet mm-hmm. and like Christian knocked on the door and he walked in and he goes, what's wrong, mom? Like, and then he was like, here's a verse. Like it was like crazy things like that would happen. Jody came over for 4 hours and a lot of stuff came out, mm-hmm. but I wasn't like freed from it. Mm-hmm. Like whatever was pressing on me, childhood things came back, you know, up mm-hmm. and made me feel very nervous. So I was very nervous. I didn't trust my own thoughts. I couldn't take care of anyone. And I literally, so this is crazy. For example, because we live in SoCal, I don't know about you, but where I live, we have helicopters over our house often. I live by the freeway. We call them the ghetto birds. They're out all the time. The police helicopters.
I thought you were going to say something about the weather.
No. But the helicopters. Mm-hmm. So we have them over our house often. So can you imagine someone that's super nervous and thinks that people are after them? Like, so helicopters are over our house often. So this was an often occurrence mm-hmm. for those 3 weeks of like waiting, like being that person, like paranoid. I was paranoid. Mm-hmm. And like, oh my gosh, there's a helicopter over our house. Like it was, I just never been that person. So it was a trip. And then I had that thought of there's a helicopter over my house, but at the same time, I knew that was not right, mm-hmm. but I couldn't snap out of it. I was like, I'm going to a mental hospital. Like, and I'm not saying that lightly. It was a legit thought. I'm like, how long can Mark do this with me before he says, I think it's time? Because I wouldn't know how to handle, like if it, mm-hmm. if it was switched, I would be like, homie, you gotta go. Like, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. There was fear of like, I'm going to be put in a mental hospital. Jesus, I'm holding on. And oh my God, helicopters are after me. So can you imagine the torment for 3.5 weeks? And that's why I say it was my Job moment. Mm-hmm. Obviously no one died. My kids didn't die like Job, but it was my Job moment. And you want to know the craziest thing? Because as fast as it came on me, in an instant it left. Mm. So like I said, it was like just after 3 weeks, rewind, because that was June of 2019. Mm-hmm. February of 2019, I finally was like, you know what? I would like to experience a PMT. Like, I had never done PMT. And so I emailed Rick, or however you did it, and he contacted me, and I never scheduled the appointment, right? So months pass, and now it's the end of June, possibly July by this time, or July, because, yeah, Father's Day. So it was mid-July, maybe. And out of the blue, I get an email from Rick, and he's like, hey, how are you doing?
And this is in the middle of your 3 weeks, right?
This was at the end.
Or this is during your, you're still going through it.
This is the last day of going through it. So I get an email, and he's like, hey, how are you doing? Everything okay? Do you still want a PMT? Simple. And I look at my email and I'm thinking, all I can do right now is just be like, yes. And I just said, too much to type or something like that. And I said, I need prayer. And yes, I need a PMT. I hit send, Damon. The exact moment I hit send, it left me. Whatever. I say it. My Job moment left. Clear. I sat there on my bed like it was gone. And I just sat there like, what? Like, what just happened? Mm-hmm. I was 100% back to myself. No residue. None. No residue. I was completely back to myself the moment I hit send.
That's crazy.
I don't know. I'm speechless, and it happened to me. So that's my story.
Okay. Now that we're looking back a few years later,
yeah,
you know, and you shared like it was the hardest, but then also a really good thing. What do you think God was doing in that season now that we're able to look back at it?
So I was the yes girl. You know, there was something very profound in a women's Bible study that was said to me before all this. Somebody said to me that you can tell when somebody loves Jesus. And they said to me, they said, I can see that you're in love with Jesus. Mm. I was that girl. I was like, I had gone through some crazy experiences after going all in. Even to the point where God said, don't wear makeup. Mm. I had a season of not wearing makeup. And it's funny, it wasn't even hard for me. And then I had a season of, I had to have my head covered. I still don't have answers for these things that he's asked me to do. I just did it. And it was like during the summer even, or it was hot or something. And I was like, I have to go grocery shopping and put it like, and it wasn't a hat. It was a specific covering, and it was hot, but I did it happily. So when I look back, like Job, right? Job was God's guy, right? Mm-hmm. So, and the devil was like, I can get him, right? And God was like, go for it. Try your best. I'm obviously in my own words. And I feel that. And there's so many aspects that you can go, but I feel like the heart of that was God was showing me what life would be like not with him, if that makes sense. And that I could go through this and come out a stronger person. And he was, I think I said it in the last episode, like that whole making a diamond process and the pressure, the intense pressure that I was under literally came out like a diamond. And I continued. And then like, who knew that 2020 would be like the world going upside down, inside out, you know? And I feel like God literally had me go through that to help me during this whole like season that we're still in, of, you know, and and also, you know, fighting for my kids and, mm-hmm. and, you know, trying to like that whole like schooling situation. And, one thing I do want to bring up, which I find funny, cause we're talking about this is, I went through all of this for years, right? Like being the yes girl, mm-hmm. becoming a diamond under that pressure that I don't want to say like, oh, God put me through a test. Like I don't feel that at all, but it sounds like it, but like I passed, right? Mm-hmm. Like I held on to that thread as tight as I could. So I know it's easy to say like, oh, God put you through this test and you passed, but I don't feel it like that. Mm. And yet, I went back to drinking after all of that. Mm. And I just want to say that because you can be on cloud nine and then this beautiful world can knock you down, right? Mm-hmm. And I just wanted to just say that there is hope because, you know, now that I have laid that before him, and going back into this relationship with Jesus, it's harder than early previous years, but it's so good. Mm. But I feel like it was just my Job moment, and I don't know how else to explain this. Mm-hmm. This, like, I feel like it's almost like, oh my gosh, like, you know. It almost sounds like it's unbelievable, I guess. The word is when I tell this story out loud, I can't believe that really happened. And I'm so thankful that I had witnesses like Jody and Mark and even Christian. Like, I don't know who else I trusted this time with. I don't know if there was anyone else that I trusted at that time. Sorry if I forgot, but there's proof. Like, it's almost like if you're like, I saw an alien and then everyone's like, okay, buddy. And then you're like, no, I really did. Like, that's how this story feels unbelievable to me.
Yeah.
But it really happened.
As you're sharing and talking about, you know, becoming this diamond, one of the things that stands out is to me is we've been talking about identity at our church for a really, really yeah. long time. Right. And since the beginning, that's been one of the core focuses of our church. And I remember one Mother's Day, I think it was, where they passed out diamonds, or mm-hmm. they were kind of like, they're plastic mm-hmm. diamonds, but, you know, and they were trying to tell the moms, this is who you are. This is how mm-hmm. God sees you as this diamond, right? But to me, without this situation happening, I don't know if you would be able to sit here today and say, I feel like I'm a diamond, right? And really, it was that season where the truth, right? God sees you as a diamond. That was, I'm pretty sure that they did that before this whole oh, yeah, season happened,
for
right?
For sure.
But they pass out this diamond to represent this truth. God sees you as a diamond. You're more precious to him than jewels, right? And that's the truth. But it took a season like this to make that truth reality, to sink in to that point where it's like you're really able to receive it and experience it and now be able to say, yeah, I do feel like I'm God's diamond, right?
Yeah.
And so I feel like our conversation right now, I mean, obviously we wouldn't be talking about this if it didn't happen, but just the tone of our conversation mm-hmm. where you're even saying like, I feel like this process has helped me become a diamond, like, and owning yeah. that and saying, that's how you feel. I don't think that would have happened without this season.
No.
So in a similar way, I think that's really what the dark night of the soul is, the intent and the purpose of it is for. Is to take the truths that we are learning and we're receiving during these great times, right? During our honeymoon seasons, right? Where it feels like everything is, God's speaking so much and he feels so close. But what God wants us to know is that he's in those times and he's close to us all the time. And so sometimes to make those truths sink in and make them real, we have to go through a season where it doesn't feel like he's close. So then we really know it, right? So if we're always being affirmed with instant gratification, instant yeah. gratification, instant gratification, do we really know it? I mean, we mm-hmm. might think we know it. It might be in our head, But really, God wants to take these truths from our head to our heart so we're able to experience it. And so if you're going through a dark night of the soul, or it seems like God's presence isn't the same, doesn't feel the same as it did before, maybe that's really what he's trying to do. He's trying to make some of these truths sink in. So our recommendation is, I think Trish is a great example, is, you know, during this season, she didn't stop trying to hold on to that thread, right? And so for us, God wants us to continue to press in. Even when it doesn't feel the same, he wants us to continue to press in, because there's going to be a new season coming, right? Every time there's a winter, what comes after winter? Spring and summer, right? So God wants us to continue to press in, continue to seek after him, knowing that spring is coming, knowing that summer is coming, and that this is a season. It might be a season of purging. It might be a season of consecration where he's trying to help us to recognize things that are getting in the way and that those things need to die, right? When we think of winter, the trees, the plants, they all die, right? Yeah. And it's for this rebirth, right? And so maybe for some of us that are going through some of these seasons, what he's trying to do is help us to recognize what things need to die, what things need to be consecrated, so that he can take us to level up, right? He wants us to level up in our relationship with him so that we can grow and mature spiritually.
Yeah. And I think, looking back, I could not see the light at the end of the tunnel. And I just wanted to speak that out loud, because whatever that darkness that whoever's listening is in, or know someone that's in, I didn't see the light at the end of the tunnel. I actually saw myself going into a mental hospital. But like you said, I would not let go of that thread. And I think that's the biggest difference. And if you're not seeing the end of the tunnel, of whatever tunnel you're in, I just want to just speak that hope of don't let go of Jesus. And at some point there is that light, and the light is Jesus, and you don't let go. And the end of the tunnel is coming.
Yeah. It's kind of crazy how a lot of times in the Bible, what Jesus is doing, what God is doing, is he's trying to reshape paradigms, reshape how we're thinking, reshape how we're seeing things, right? And so even during this time of, we're talking about dark night of the soul, where it feels like God's presence is far away, really what he's trying to do is he's trying to reshape our thinking so that it's not just, we have to feel God's presence to know that he's near, so that we're able to know that he's near even when it feels like he's far, right? It kind of reminds me of, so in my men's group, we're going through the book of James, and he talks a lot about trials and suffering and persecution in James. And then he says, count it joy when you encounter trials. It's like, wait, count it joy when you encounter trials? And really it's because we're looking at what God is producing as we endure, as we come through these trials. He's producing someone that is going to be lacking nothing. That James 1, 2-4. Shout out to my men's group. James 1, 2-4. It talks about, as we go through trials, to count it as joy, because God is producing a person that is lacking nothing. And that's who God wants us to be, people that are mature and lacking nothing. And so if you're going through this season of a dark night where it feels like God's presence is far, really, he's trying to mature you and help you to recognize the things that are getting in between you and him, so that nothing will get in between you and him.
I'll just be honest. I was surviving, because I really, 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 not that I wanted to die. I don't remember that feeling, but it was like I was dead, right? So my brain couldn't even go there. I'm laughing when you say that, because about the joy in the trials, but I mean, I recognize it now. Does that count? Does that count? Because like at the time, well, I just, because it's so easy to say, and but there are some tough trials in people's lives. And so the 3 weeks of hell, no, I had no joy. Now maybe if I knew, I don't even know, but I just wanted people to know that there might be times where you're going through the trial and you won't find joy right away.
Well, I think that's why James talks about it, because yeah. people don't experience joy when they're going through trials, right? So he has to address it and say, yeah. you know, look at what God is doing.
I see it now,
from the 40,000 foot view, right? Like, look at what God is doing during this season. And he's producing a diamond, right?
Yeah. No, I totally. So that's why it's hard for me to tell the story sometimes, because I'm like, this was hell on earth, but it was like the best thing that could have ever happened to me. Do you see how that's like a hard thing to try to tell the story? But I literally can jump and rejoice in that now, even though I strayed for a bit. Mm-hmm. And even in the strain, I didn't leave him, but kind of like it's our journey with Jesus is such a trip. I think it's like, oh my gosh. And then I just like, I want to strangle myself. Like, what are you doing? My gosh. And I'm not justifying anything, but it's actually says it in the Bible in a few different books, but one that I remember, it's like Luke 17 something, but it's, you know, it's better to tie a rope around your neck with like a weight and throw yourself into the ocean than to harm a child. Mm-hmm. And if you've ever been harmed as a child, that verse will like pierce your heart. Mm-hmm. Because all the things that I have to like go through now as an adult and battle is because of my childhood. Mm. And it's like, and I feel like I said, it's like, oh, Lord, I'm sorry. I once again have to do it the hard way in learning my lesson, but it's like, I feel the love and grace from God. Mm-hmm. And honestly, he gives that to everyone, but everyone has their own personal story. Mm-hmm. And I feel like the grace and love that I receive from my Father, Heavenly Father, is he knows what I went through. Mm-hmm. And he knows everyone's past. He knows everyone's story. I say that like with a smile, because we forget. And he knows what I had to go through and endure. Mm-hmm. And so when I turn to that false comfort, he's still there. And he's like, you know, because you always think like, why does someone that experiences this high and this goodness and all the fruits can go back to drinking and the false comforts? Like it sounds so dumb. Mm-hmm. Like, wow, how could you do that? Right? But then you think, God knows what I had to endure as a child. Mm-hmm. and my false comfort. What is my false comfort? And if the world tries to throw me a huge curveball, like, it's okay, because I'm back to Jesus. You know what I mean? And he knows.
Yeah, and God's grace covers everything, right? And so So if you're experiencing a season like this or anything like we've been talking about this episode, just know that there's hope. There's hope. So continue to press in, continue to seek the Lord, continue to just take that one step that he's asking you to take, and spring will come.
Action item, or whatever you call it. Our church has amazing ministries. Mm-hmm. So we have tea huddles. So if you're not, you know, wanting to join a small group, or you're new or whatever, there's tea huddles. You just get with one person, and we have deliverance ministries and PMTs.
Which is prayer ministry teams.
Oh, sorry, prayer ministry teams.
IPM, intensive prayer ministry.
But these are these are things that can get you just deeper in relationship with Christ and cleanse hurts and everything. Like, it just helps you to grow closer with Christ. Mm-hmm. And I think, like you said, the one, like, take one step. Well, one step would be to do one, mm-hmm. you know? And I say it's not easy because, you know, when you clean out an old wound, it hurts, you know, you pour alcohol on it to disinfect it and it's like stings, but you come out healed, right? So I think a good action item would be to find someone to do a tea huddle with or do one of these ministries.
Awesome. Yay. Awesome. Awesome. That's a great way to close off our show with some action items. So thanks again, Trish, for coming on and then also for inspiring this extra bonus episode.
Yay, bonus. I love to talk. Anytime.
Okay, so until next time, may you experience God's heart for you to flourish in every season. Thanks for listening to the Engage to Flourish podcast. Don't forget to subscribe on Spotify, Apple, or Google Podcasts. You can check out more of our content on our YouTube, Instagram, and Facebook pages by searching for Catalyst Christian Community. If you want to check out our church in person, we meet every Sunday at 10 a.m. at Stanford Middle School in Long Beach. We'd love for you to come out and experience being a part of our church family.